You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. I want to talk a little bit about what I think has been an under-discussed element of why the Pistons have taken a step back. And unlike what we talked about yesterday, where it was about Reggie Jackson getting healthy, and maybe that automatically makes a lot of things better, this, I'm not so sure there's such a clear path forward for improvement. It's an area that concerns me a lot going forward. And in the same token, maybe Reggie Jackson getting healthy fixes this, and we'll get into why. But here's my thing. Imagine what you think of as the prototypical Stan Van Gundy team. You're probably seeing Dwight Howard at center, maybe Andre Drummond in this modified version. Big center, defensive presence, somebody who protects the rim, can score on the pick and roll, and then a bunch of shooters around them. Van Gundy really helped popularize the stretch four. He moved Rashard Lewis back in Orlando when everybody thought of Lewis as pretty much a small forward, because in the previous era, that's clearly what he was. Van Gundy moved him to power forward, lived with the defensive difficulties of that, lived with the rebounding difficulties of that, and had Lewis just bombing away on three-pointers. And the Magic had shooters all around Dwight Howard because Howard was that defensive presence who could cover for them. He limited the disadvantages they got on defense, but man, those teams could shoot, especially for that era. Now they'd just be average shooting teams because everybody followed Stan Van Gundy's lead. You surround that big man with these shooters. You play this four-out system. Now teams are playing a lot of five-out, doing some different things. But a lot of this stems from what Van Gundy did. And that power forward position was the pivotal one. But he had shooters at small forward, at shooting guard. His point guards could shoot. There was just so much shooting all over the court. It was very tough on defenses. And I think he wanted to follow that model somewhat in Detroit. You saw his first summer here, he went out and got three-point shooters. Those were the targets. Those were the players he added to that team. Jody Meeks, Anthony Tolliver, Caron Butler, DJ Augustine, Cartier Martin. These weren't the best players, but it was clear Stan Van Gundy's objective. He went out and got a bunch of players who shot well from outside the arc the previous year. Now, that doesn't mean Van Gundy is or was completely inflexible. He's changed his system, some for sure, by design. In Orlando, his teams had basically two primary players who ran the pick and roll and distributed. Oftentimes, Jameer Nelson, a little bit of Rafer Alston, but also a lot of times, Hedu Turkoglu. A lot of times, the offense ran through a distributing forward. He doesn't necessarily have one of those in Detroit. When everything's healthy, when everything's clicking, so much goes through Reggie Jackson. So there is a flexibility here, but I think there are some core tenets to this scheme where you, unless you're going to do things differently, and I'm not saying Van Gundy's incapable of doing things differently, but if you're going to run this scheme, you need a center who can cover for a lot of things. Andre Drummond definitely is not there yet, but there are glimpses, there are signs of progress. He's very young, but you also need really good shooting forwards. They're going to get open three-pointers, and their three-pointers are going to stretch the defense to help everybody else. You need good shooting forwards, and the Pistons have not had those this year in a way that they did last year, and I think we need to talk more about that. The Pistons' rotation-level forwards made 35% of their three-pointers last year. This year it's down to 32. And here's the troubling thing. It's pretty much everybody who has shot worse. Every single forward in the rotation from last year to this year shot worse. Marcus Morris is down from 36% to 33%. Tobias Harris is down from 38% to 34%. Stanley Johnson is down from 31% to 28%. The Pistons no longer have Ersan Ilyasova, who shot 36%. No longer have Anthony Tolliver, who also shot 36%. Instead, they have John Luehr, who's shooting 30%. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what to make of the fact that every single one of them is shooting worse. Luehr shot better last year, you know, not in Detroit, but he's also shooting worse. So it's not just a strategic, you know, hey, we swap some better three-point shooters for one a worse one. No, it was one who was supposed to be about as good or maybe even better. And he's not. And I don't know what to make of this. I don't know if the Pistons are not practicing three-pointers the right way, if they're not getting their forwards the same looks they got them last year. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's the same looks. They're just not falling, and that's a big reason the team has fallen. And three-point shooting can be a little volatile season to season. Players don't always take a ton of attempts. Marcus Morris is leading these forwards with 349 so far this year. Nobody took more last year than his 298 among these forwards. That's a lot. It's definitely a lot. But for a stat where it can run hot and cold, I do think you need to look at the bigger picture of how a player is shooting over the longer run. And for the Pistons, they should have a lot more information than I do. How these players work, how these players shoot in practice, how they shoot in scrimmages, how they shot in the preseason, some different environments that I can't track like they can. And so maybe there's some more reason for confidence, but I do think to some degree you have to look at what they've done for their careers, and it's not necessarily the most encouraging thing. Marcus Morris, career 36%. Tobias Harris, career 33%. John Luehr, career 34%. Stanley Johnson's he's only had these two seasons. So all we have to look at is this year when he's shooting 28%. Last year when he shot 31%, neither super encouraging, and the fact that he's taken a step back is concerning, and a concern about his entire game if we want to go down that rabbit hole, which we won't today. But this is troubling that they've all taken a step back, and maybe it's just bad luck. Three-point shooting can go through spurts of up and down, hot and cold, and you know, maybe the Pistons just landed on tails four times in a row. And so maybe this is just something that will regress up next year. But because these players weren't necessarily as good of three-point shooters as they appeared to be before last season, I have concern that this is closer to their career baseline. This is closer to who they truly are. That maybe last year was four heads in a row, and this year is two hails and two heads. That this is just who these players are. That this is the evened out level. That's the concern, and that's something where Stan Van Gundy, as a basketball expert, as somebody who understands shooting strokes and what shots are good for what players far better than I ever could, has to make some tough evaluations. Because this is where I think the roster could and maybe should change. Because these player stocks aren't all super low. John Luehr has shot very well inside the arc this year. He's at 55%. He gets the basket. He uses the threat of his three-point shooting to drive past closing out defenders. Yeah, in the long run, he needs to make those threes to have the defenders still closing out as hard. But right now, and at least for most of the season, he's still taking advantage of it. Tobias Harris, very good season inside the arc. His value is still up. He's still producing as a scorer despite this. Marcus Morris, it's kind of a step back here. But his salary is so low, he'll have trade value. The Pistons are not necessarily stuck with these forwards. They can move these guys. Stanley Johnson's still young. When it appeared he might have fallen out of favor in Detroit, other teams were lining up, calling, trying to trade for him. Now, of course, I think they were all offering lowball offers. But maybe if you actually show some interest in moving him, maybe you can pull out a good, solid offer. So I don't think the Pistons are stuck with these forwards. I just don't think they can go forward, pun intended, with forwards who shoot so poorly. Maybe that means keeping these same forwards. Maybe it means the same rotation and hoping they shoot better, because they shoot way better in game-type situations in practice, and Van Gundy is convinced that, hey, this has just been a run of cold shooting. And then there's the Reggie Jackson factor. If Reggie Jackson is driving to the basket better and can drive and kick and draw defenders first, that's going to create just a little more space for these shooters. That could be all it takes to fix this. I don't think that's it. I think it's going to take something else, but maybe the other thing is just regression to the mean, that these shooters are not this bad, that even if you let the season play out exactly the same way again, with Reggie Jackson being hurt and then coming back and not being healthy and Ish Smith playing some, You let it play out exactly the same way, that these guys would shoot better. That you try this again, these guys would shoot better. Maybe. Maybe. But you add the combination of that possibility, the combination of Reggie Jackson getting healthy. There's some reason for optimism. You know, there's definitely some paths forward. But this is where Van Gundy has to earn his money. He has to make this evaluation. Figure out which of these forwards can shoot better. Or, here's the other thing. Craft a scheme that works better without a lights-out shooting forward. Not a single one. I don't think that's the solution. I think it's better to play how Van Gundy wants this team to play, how he's comfortable coaching, where he a way he's developed a little bit of an expertise in how to set up players. When he has players who fit his scheme, his teams are very good. And I think he's flexible. He played a different way. His teams played a different way when he was with Miami, and those teams were very good too. So I don't think he's inflexible, but the way the league is moving, the way he's comfortable playing, I think it's worth gearing toward that, which is a case where it's a good thing he's the team president. That he can build this roster how he wants. He doesn't have some other general manager telling him, hey, these are the players we're getting. Find a way to coach it. No, I think it's good that he's getting the players who can fit his style, fit his ideal style. Not that he can't work with it otherwise. But here's the problem. This roster, these forwards do not fit his ideal style. So Van Gundy needs to find a solution for next year. Probably too late for this year. But there is that faintest playoff hope. It would probably require the Pistons beating the Raptors tonight. So we will keep an eye on that game. Talk about it a little tomorrow. Reevaluate where the Pistons are in the playoff hunt. The other teams around them in the playoff chase, a lot of them have been losing. Some disappointing losses for them. The Bulls just lost to the Knicks last night. It's not over, so we'll keep an eye on the playoff race. Look more at it tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.